Sunday, August 27th. This was a very unusual weekend. First, we've spent in the White House all summer, I believe. We talked about where to go to church. The Christian church is really outdistancing my own Episcopal church this summer. But then their Bill Baxter is off on vacation, and nobody we know is preaching at St. Mark's. And so it was easy for me to say, let's go to the National City Christian Church to hear Dr. Davis. In a way, in losing, I'm winning. For about 30 years now, I've wanted Lyndon to become really interested in going to church, hopefully, and I always expected the Episcopal Church. And now it's really happening, but not in the Episcopal Church. He's personally fond of Dr. Davis, and in many ways they are alike. During the sermon this morning, Dr. Davis praised Lyndon's references to the Los Angeles riots. He'd condemned them, but he added, "We must cure the evils which make possible the violence." And then he went on to quote one of the ubiquitous picketers always in front of the White House, some beatnik with a beard, as he described him, who had said, "He, the president, doesn't give a damn." Dr. Davis almost shouted, "He gives the biggest damn of any man in the world." In a way, I cringe slightly at personal references in church. And in a way, I like for him to feel that way about Lyndon. It is very true. There were a couple of rather ugly stories in the paper. In the Herald Tribune, one about staff, entitled Up from the Johnson Mines, which begins, "Anonymous, faceless, perfect servants is the way an old-time Washington insider described the tight, bright coterie, a word originally meaning, says Webster, an association of peasants to hold land from a lord, around Lyndon Johnson in the White House." And the other article, which I was much more disturbed by, was one on the front page of the Star about Johnson family homes restored by Foundation. It was on to describe the restoration of the Johnson City House and the birthplace house. It also adds the restoration of his grandfather's home, which we don't own, would like, and are a long way from getting. Reaching even farther, it said, when these three restoration projects have been completed, Foundation officers are considering restoration of Mrs. Johnson's childhood home at Karnak. The main part of the article being made up with references to the possibility of Wright Patman, who was investigating 200 foundations in the country, perhaps should turn his attention to investigating ours, since such use of funds was of doubtful educational or public interest nature. The 7,000 or so tourists who stop by the Johnson City House each month do seem to find it worth going to. At church, as we were walking out of our pews for the coffee hour, Lyndon said, "Let's ask the Davises and the Breedings to have lunch with us." Sat down in the pulpit by former Congressman Breeding of Kansas. And so we did. After shaking hands for fully 30 minutes, members of the church and visitors from all over the country during the coffee hour gathered up Dr. Davis, his wife, and the pretty young girl, incidentally a Catholic, who is going to marry his son, and the astonished but delighted Breedings, and off we whisked to the White House for lunch, just the seven of us. Lyndon said he liked to go down to the coffee hour. He says, "One reason why I like to go to church is to see the people. In this life I lead now, I don't have much chance just to get out and mix with folks, and it makes me want to get more education for them, and better health care, and more of the things they need." It is a sort of a shot of adrenaline to him. He went on to describe to Dr. Davis and those assembled at the table about his appeal to business all during the winter and early spring months to hire and train young folks between 16 and 21 during the summer months. He was delighted with the response of the businessmen. He says, "They're less unemployed among that age bracket than they were last summer. That is why we have not had more Los Angeles." He went on to praise the business community and great disciple of Roosevelt that he is. He diverges from it markedly when it comes to calling businessmen economic royalists. Up to now, he has gotten along with them splendidly, has made every effort to understand them, to work with them, to explain to them everything he's doing. And their cooperation has been great. It was especially nice to have the Breedings. We'd campaigned together in 1960. And then their district had been abolished by some redistricting process. And here he was in Washington in the Department of Agriculture. Young Nancy Boyle, who is going to marry the son of Dr. Ms. Davis, who is a doctor aboard a Polaris submarine, was a pretty young Catholic. and Lennon was full of teasing for her and for Lucy about the Catholics. Shortly after Lucy's baptism on July 2nd, religious statues began to spring up in her room like rain lilies, and I could hardly make my way in for the Virgin Mary in Lalique, in painted wood, in cheap ceramics, in elegant marble, and in all sizes. He promises to give them, most of them, to some Catholic schools. Our guests stayed for a little conversational period after lunch, and then, very pleased with their visit, and so was I, they left. We had some rest, and then at 5 o'clock, Lyndon went over to the office to work, saying, "Let's get together some friends for a ride on the boat. You start the list." I was delighted to notice that he mentioned several that I'm always wanting to include. And then I phoned folks quickly. Clint and Henrietta Anderson, and the Bill Moyers, and Betty and Bill Fulbright, and Bess and Tyler. This will be the first time they've been on the boat with us, and I always like to include my own. I got a call that Jim Kane was in town, and I asked him to come join us. And finally located Clark Clifford after checking the golf clubs. We set the time at 7:30 at the White House, and so I went over alone for some bowling. I yearn for exercise. I wish I had a companion who could just spring up on a moment's notice, not be hurt if I didn't call for weeks and weeks, and be available to tuck into the spare hours I have now and then. Linda is in New York with Arthur Krims, and Lucy is always off about her own business. I had 4.5 good games, and then back for a pleasant evening on the boat. Lyndon brought along pretty little Carol Welch, who'd been working late over at the White House. And when we all met upstairs, he gave everybody a copy of Tour to More Beautiful America. I'm glad I've gotten all of mine autographed for the chief donors up to now. It was a pleasant twilight ride, this time on the Sequoia. Clark recalled old-time rides with Truman on the much larger Williamsburg, their poker games. They were mostly stag, those trips. I spent a good deal of time with Clint and Henrietta, whom I especially enjoy, and look forward to being with at Jackson Hole. The news on Judith and Bill Moyer's child is not good. It looks as though one of his legs may be withered, may not develop. They try so hard, and they bear it with great fortitude. The Buffalo River is becoming one of my perennial subjects these days. So much in my mail about wild rivers, and especially the Buffalo. So I talked with Bill about it, who favors leaving it as a wild river, hopefully getting a national park for that area. But Congressman Trimble has his heart set and his word given on getting a dam for his poverty-stricken little district through which the Buffalo flows, sees the economic values that come from other dams. And his is indeed, Bill says, one of the poorest sections of the state, and he one of the most respected congressmen. Alas for the conflict that arises between two good things and the difficulty of resolving them. Tyler, smooth, sophisticated, handsome, helping all the ladies have a good time. He and Bess are plus in any group. We were back at the White House by 10:30 and to bed rather early. Actually, one of the most restful weekends of the summer. One of the stories of the day was Isabel Shelton about the White House acquiring the portrait of Mrs. FDR, the Douglas Shandor one, and a very nice reproduction of it. I'm very proud to have added it. I'm going to insist that it hangs where the general public can see it because she belonged to the general public. We want to make a very nostalgic and pleasant ceremony around the hanging.